Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you all so much for joining us today here on Chasing the Call. My name is Shelley Caldwell, and we'd like to welcome you to the We Speak Radio Network. I'm excited about my sister's first day and her first show. So what we're going to do, we're going to bring her on the line. Give us just a few minutes, and we're going to bring her on the line, and we're going to get the conversation started for you all today. But what we want to do, we want to encourage everyone, if you are tweeting in the conversation dialogue today, we want you to be sure to keep the conversation going at signed We Speak Radio. And if you're on Facebook, we're logged in there live as well, and we'd love to hear your comments and questions. We already have a lot of input there from today's dialogue on our topic, Chasing the Call. And again, if you'd like to tell your friends to, or text your friends to tell them to call us, and they can listen in on mute at 914-338-1692. And if they'd like to speak with the host and or make comments later in the show, they will be prompted to press 1. They will be prompted to press 1, and we will seek audience comments about 6:30 as we get into the show. Again, we'd like to welcome you all here to the reintroduction to the We Speak Radio Network. Thank you all so much for your support. The lines are filling up. The chat room is about to open. So if you all will just please stand by, give us a few minutes, and we'll be right back with you to get the show started. Hello, Shelley. Hello, Shelley. Tell her to put me on. Hey, Shelley. Hello, Shelley. Thank you for getting us through that little bit of a transition. And we appreciate everything that you've done to get us up and running. So what we're going to do now is begin to check some of our callers and see what's going on. So first of all, we would like to say good evening to all of our Blog Talk listeners. I am your host, Kimberly Skeen, and I would like to first take some time out to say thank you. Thank you for taking this leap of faith with me and for taking the time out to listen and spend some time with me today. I would also like to welcome my two co-hosts, Jenny Chadwell and J.R. Dunlap. I would like to say thanks to the He, She, and We Speak Network Guild for managing the technical portion of the show and inspiring me to take this leap of faith today. Today's topic is Chasing Your Call, and before we begin, I would like to go over a few housekeeping items and get those things out of the way. As you can see, this is a live radio show, and anything could happen. So let's all be patient with each other as we are managing several different media avenues. For those of you that have logged on via Facebook, Twitter, Shelley will be monitoring that for us tonight. If you have questions, please go ahead and post your questions now. There will be a time during the show where we will reach out to the audience and begin to take questions, comments, or whatever you would like to add to the show. For those of you that have called in, if you would like to participate in the conversation, you must press 1 to begin speaking, after which you will be muted. So at this point, everyone is muted out. Our Facebook, you can go on to We Speak Radio Network if you would like to follow the conversation there, or Twitter, we are at We Speak Radio to follow the conversation there. We would also like everyone now to be mindful of the background noise if you are on the line. We ask that you mute your phone to make sure that we do not get any of the background noise. We also encourage audience participation. This would not be successful unless we all work together. So please feel free to add to the conversation as you see fit. We would like our goal today, Jenny, JR, and myself, our goal today is to have open dialogue in hopes to promote thought and promote discussion. And hopefully through this venue, we will prompt some action for people to attain their call. So first things first, I'll introduce myself again. My name is Kimberly Skeen. I am the host today for the show. And just to give you a little background of how did I come up with this show topic. Just last week, I was on the elevator on my way to work on a Monday morning and just riding in the elevator, and a gentleman was in the elevator with me, and we got up on the same floor. And on our way to our different offices, he just began to share with me. He said, "Ma'am, have you ever just had a time in life where you realize that all of these things are just really not that important? Whatever it may be, a family event, a life event, you realize, what is all of this about? What is it all about?" And he just really looked sad, as if he was dreading going into the office, and it prompted me to say, I need to do something. I do not want to end my life with just getting up every morning, going into work, and living an everyday life. So that's what prompted this show. That's what prompted these questions. And what I would like to do now is to begin to introduce you to my two co-hosts. Again, their name is J.R. Dunlap and Virginia Chadwell. And Jenny Chadwell, if you would like to now just introduce yourself and tell us what your definition of chasing the call means to you.
Absolutely. Well, first off, I just want to thank you for asking me to be on this with you. It's a huge honor and something that I'm very, very passionate about. So thank you so much for inviting me to be on this with you. One thing that I was looking at, when the fact that you named this call, Chase the Call, is so inspiring to me. It's about chasing for your purpose and your call to slap you in the face. You have to pursue it. You have to go and actually be open to things that are going to happen and learn more about what your call is. You could have easily, Kimberly, with your story, sat on that elevator and just put it aside as another conversation that you had and that's what I should do, or you know what, I should probably look into that. But you actually did something with it. So the fact that you're calling us chasing your call, I love it.
Excellent. Thank you very much. And JR, would you introduce yourself to the audience and let us know what your definition of chasing the call means to you?
Well, thank you, Kim. And my name is JR Dunlap. Recently completed my requirements for a Master of Arts in Theological Studies at Columbia Theological Seminary up in Decatur, and I'm pursuing further studies with Luther Wright Seminary this upcoming January. I'm married to my wonderful wife, Kathy, and we have three children, Crystal, Jasmine, and Natalia. I'm also a minister at Auburn Heights Baptist Church in Phoenix City, Alabama, where Dr. Wayne Scarborough is our pastor and Rodney Mitchell is our associate pastor. Sister Skeen, I can tell you've chosen a great topic because I believe that there are many, many people of God who are doing just that these days, chasing their call. So often we hear how many people are or have ran away from their call that God has placed on their lives. So to bring attention to chasing the call versus running away from the call is a very, very important topic. Accepting a call from God, as we've seen all throughout the Bible, comes with questions, anxieties, sacrifices, you name it. For me, my definition of surrendering, of chasing the call, is actually surrendering to the call that God has placed on your life and doing so voluntarily. I truly believe that God is not going to force anybody into his or her call. So I just thank you once again for having me today and look forward to contributing just a little bit more to the conversation.
Absolutely. Thank you both very much for both of those brief introductions. And I say let's go ahead and jump on into it. So earlier this year, Oprah had an episode where she made the comment, "Everyone has a calling." And I began to watch another show called The View where Barbara Walters did not so much agree with that comment. And Barbara went on to compare her calling to her vocation. She began to explain how she just fell into that industry because her family needed something to eat. And she happened to be good with that. And immediately, the first thing that came to mind is that Barbara Walters is confusing a calling compared to a vocation. So with that said, do you believe, either JR and Jenny, either one of you can chime in on this, do you believe that everyone has a calling?
I personally, I do. I think what distinguishes between somebody who recognizes and receives their calling is if you're open to that. I think that there are people that can go their whole life, as JR pointed out, to running away from it. Maybe they've felt it before, but for whatever reason, they make excuses. It's out of their comfort zone, and therefore they kind of turn away and turn that part away from them. But I do believe, personally, everybody has a calling. But it's just like JR said, God's not going to force you to do anything. You have to pursue it. You have to be open to it, and you have to be able to take it and run with it and not just sit there and wait for something to happen.
All right. JR, what are your thoughts about that? Does everyone have a calling?
I believe that everybody does have a calling. And when I say that, I believe that God has placed every last one of us who he's created in his image and in his likeness to do something specific on this earth. Now, as a Christian, I believe that it is even more vital that we pursue our calling to benefit the kingdom of God and also to help other people. In response to what you said about Barbara Walters, I think it's important for some people to understand there's a difference between a vocation and a job. And this is how I look at it. A job is, you go somewhere to work every day. You don't have any passion about it. You go there for a paycheck. You come home, and that's the extent of it. With a vocation, I believe a vocation is a whole lot more personable. But when we start talking about it in the respects of being a calling, this is something that God has placed, God has ordained for a man or woman to do for a kingdom benefit, not for an individual benefit. So that's how I would interpret that.
Oh, all right. And that sounds good. And since we've moved on to vocation, I read a book this summer by Parker J. Palmer, and the title of the book is Let Your Life Speak. And I'm just going to read a quick quote out of his book in reference to vocation. He says, that vocation becomes an act of will, a grim determination of one's life. And if that is so, the willful pursuit of vocation is an act of violence towards ourselves. So the fact that vocation is considered an act of violence compared to a calling, do you think, why is it so difficult then for us to accept our calling then? Why do we fall into areas of non-belief or doubt? JR, would you like to answer or add something to that? Why is the call so difficult to accept?
One of the things that I think about when it comes to doubt is, for me, I would like to make reference back to the different calls in our Bible. And sometimes we see where individuals had questions in the Bible of God. Individuals did not have confidence in themselves. So there's a variety of reasons of why individuals have doubts. Speaking personally about my life, becoming a minister, I had doubt because I didn't feel at one point in my life that I was as knowledgeable as I needed to be about the Bible. But then when I thought about it and I went back to the Bible and looked at how God called individuals and how Jesus called individuals to follow him, it was really that simple. It was really more about just accepting the fact of saying, yes, God, I am going to follow this plan that you have placed out for me, or I'm going to go to a place where you're saying to go, even if I don't have all of the instructions, even if I don't know exactly how it's going to work. But the most important thing is being able to say, yes, God. A perfect example is when I came to seminary, I felt the call of going to seminary, and I talked it over with my wife, and next thing you know, I came home and I told her that I quit my job. At that point in time, when I quit my job, I accepted that call to go to seminary. I didn't know exactly where it was going to lead to, but I knew by going to seminary, that was just one step that the plan that God had for my life. So the first thing is to get over those doubts and some of those fears. Sometimes we just have to step out there on faith. So without faith, I don't really see how an individual is really going to be able to truly follow their call that God has actually placed on their life.
Excellent answer, JR. Jenny, do you have any thoughts, or would you like to chime in on that topic as well?
Yeah, you know, something that JR just said that's really struck me, and it's a conversation you and I had earlier last week, Kimberly, when we were discussing this, was, you know, he said when that calling comes, a part of that doubt that happens is you start kind of questioning whether or not, you know, what you don't have all the full instructions. And probably about 2 months ago, I had been receiving a just strong message. I was being led to reach out to my sister-in-law, who is a teacher and an underprivileged inner-city school. And I was being led to go to her and tell her that I need to sponsor her room. Now, I had no idea what that meant. I had no clue. And so I resisted it. I was like, I don't know what sponsor is. And I began to kind of make excuses, and I began to kind of negotiations, or, you know, well, God, once you tell me what a sponsor is, then I'll tell you, or how much money this is going to involve, or if this is going to be my time, what does this mean? And it was probably 2 months, but it would not let me go. And finally, I had the conversation with my husband, and I said, you know, this is what I feel like. I feel like God is leading us to sponsor Sunny, my sister-in-law's classroom. And my husband was 100% on board and was very, very supportive of it. And so I wrote my sister-in-law the next day, and I told her, I said, I hope this doesn't seem weird, or this is something that doesn't offend you, but I've been led to sponsor your room. I don't know what that means, but is there anything that you need? Is there any field trips, tutors, equipment for your room, anything that's going to make your classroom more successful? And she and I have been working on what is she going to do, or what are we going to do in order to help her kids that otherwise may not have, she doesn't have the budget to get a lot of this information in for the kids or equipment in for the kids. And it's been an awesome experience. All my life, little learnings that I have to let go and let God and just trust that the information is going to come. It's going to come when I need to know it and when it's going to happen. But I thought when J.R. brought up that point, that just really hit home to an experience that I had and I've been struggling with just within the last 2 months.
Wow, that's amazing. And it does seem like everyone, whatever the calling is, and I like how you gave that example of sponsoring her classroom, because you never know who you may impact or what child may be influenced by your gift or by your obedience of God for just that one word, sponsoring a classroom. So, and you also made a point early, Jenny, about doing something. The call requires you to do something. And it is our prayer and our hope today for our listening audience and our audience that is following us on the various social media networks that after this is over, that you will get up and go and do something. We do see several lines out there that people have questions. What we're going to do, we have one last question for this phase of the show, and then we're going to open it up for audience questions, comments, tweets, whatever comments you've made. Shelly's going to take care of that for us. So we have one last question for this part. So hold your questions. Don't forget them, because we definitely want to hear what you have to say. Our next question is, your close family and your friends, if it has been my experience that throughout my life there has always been people placed in my life that would say, oh, Kim, you're good with this, or, oh, Kim, you're good with that. And they would always plant these seeds. And years later, some 20 years later, 10 years later, some 5 years later, I find out that, indeed, I do have a call to do this. Indeed, I do have a gift to do that. So my question to Jenny first, I would say, if your family and friends were on the call today, would they say that your calling was always evident to them or clear to them, or would you say that your calling only became evident to you as an adult?
No, I would think absolutely. I knew at a very young age, and I think my family did too, that I have been put on this earth to teach others and to encourage and to help others find their self-worth and the potential that they could be. And that's from a very, very early age when I would do tutoring, when I would, you know, be really young, and I would just have such a passion for learning and for teaching others what I've learned. And that's grown with me. So I didn't fall into my career. I started out as a teacher. I loved every minute that I had doing teaching. And then I transitioned into more of a adult learning, which is what I do now. And you know, I think it's easy to kind of fall into your work and say, oh, it's just a work, it's just a job that I do, which right now we're working with ERP, we're working with software implementation, and it's so out of my realm of my passion, but I find something every single day that I can impact somebody with, whether it's teaching them a new skill, whether it's teaching either a life skill or a job skill, or even helping them to understand that there's things other than just the, like that gentleman said, you know, I come into work every single day and I go home and I'm unfulfilled. And it is my goal every day to touch somebody, to reach somebody and make them feel important, that what they do here and the decisions and the choices they make on a daily basis is important. Not only for that day, but for their long term. And believe,
okay,
pardon me?
No, I'm sorry. I thought we lost you there for a moment.
Uh-oh. Did I break up on you?
Yes, but you can continue.
Okay. I get into it. I get passionate about it. but one thing that I think is important is, you know, sometimes we get lost in the fray of just kind of our daily, you know, daily routines, and we forget, we want this big aha moment, and sometimes it's not a big aha moment, and that's part of what leads us back to chasing your call. Sometimes you have to pursue it, and you have to go through, and even knowing as a little kid that this was my life work, and it's making a choice every day to still make it my life work, even though I may not be doing the job that puts me out and allows me to do this as a vocation or as a job, I still find time and I still am searching for people to spread that message and to share that message of having people understand that they are worthwhile, that they make a difference and they can make a difference, but it starts with them and the choices that they make.
Awesome answer. JR, how would you chime in on that question?
Well, Kim, I can remember my mother way back in the early 90s saying that God was going to use me for the kingdom's work, and this is when I first accepted Christ. After a lot of struggling with if this is what I actually wanted to do with my life, just to actually be a Christian. And it's something how people who are connected to God can say things that wind up coming to fruition years and years and years later, as you've already have mentioned. I would have to say that early in my Christian walk, no one other than my mother would say that she recognized my calling to be a minister of God. Now, my calling specifically that I know without a shadow of a doubt is in teaching. That is the calling and that is the gift that God has given me. I didn't grow up in a Christian home, and I can say that my moderate to serious journey with God really began around 2000. It took about 3 to 4 years for me to really begin to understand what it meant to actually be a Christian. So that being said, chasing my call was really on the back burner. It was nothing that nobody was communicating to me. It was all about being a Christian and doing the things that God wants you to do. But following and pursuing what God wanted me to do was not placed in the forefront of where I was religiously and within church. But it wasn't until I was able to grow a little bit and be ready to accept that God had a plan and purpose for my life. Once I kind of made that decision in my mind and pursued actively, okay, what is it that you want me to do, God? That's when I can say it really started becoming evident to me that I had a calling on my life. And let me add one more thing. My calling of teaching was nothing that I ever would have thought about even as an adult. I was always shy as a little kid. I still am an introvert. I really did never like to speak and be in front of people. Years ago, you couldn't have gotten me to be on this radio show right now doing this because that just wasn't my personality. But I think there was a period of time where God just had to do some molding and make me really, really comfortable with being able to do what he had me to do, which was to teach the gospel to Jesus Christ and to minister into people's lives so that they can have a better life and be better citizens of the kingdom.
Wow. I must say I have the best two co-hosts ever. I'm taking notes right now as they speak and jotting down things that I'm going to take away from their testimonies today for my own lifestyle. So right now we're going to send it over to Shelly Skeen. I see several of you have questions or you may have comments, but you have pressed one on your phones and it looks like that you may have something that you want to say. So, Shelly, I'm passing it over to you, and let us know what's going on in the social media realm. Okay, it looks like we may have lost Shelly. So
okay,
we
Kim.
Okay.
I'm here. Thank you so much.
We'd like to
first welcome everyone over in the chat room who's online listening, and those of you who are following us via Twitter at We Speak Radio, and those of you on the Facebook page, thank you so much again for your comments earlier. What we're going to do is we're going to move through the first Facebook comment, and that was earlier today, and it supports everything that's already been said by the co-host here. From Manassas, Virginia, we have Prophet Oliver Reed. He answered the question that says we must first, it says our identity can be formulated, thus causing a relentless and ongoing dialogue between you and God. In his humble opinion, we must answer the call by allowing God to reveal his purpose in our lives. And that means what or who, in other words, who has God called us to be? So he's stressing there that you have to get an ongoing conversation, dialogue between you and God. And I believe that JR was saying that as well, where you're consistently asking God. But I think the key is to know that you've got to get a prayer life in order to do so. We also want to go over here, and let's start on the lines again, stress. For the sake of time, if you would please keep your comments brief, if you could, in consideration of others. We've got several people to get to. So we want to start with 6559. If that is the last four digits of your number, 6559, calling in from the area code 843. Hello?
Yeah, I'm basically just listening in. I got out JR's text, and I'm just enjoying
okay.
the dialogue overall. So I have nothing to add to
okay.
it. I'm just enjoying it.
All right, great. Thank you so much. And caller 4495, area code 678.
Yes, I have a question for JR. Is it chasing a call, or what you call it, obedience to God's guidance?
Chasing the call or obedience to God's guidance. I would say those are two different things. I look at chasing a call as more of, let me give it to you in this example. For me, I saw a lot of hurting individuals in my community. I've seen a lot of individuals hurting from a financial standpoint. So I started asking myself questions, God, why are these type of things actually happening? And I think from what I saw and from communicating with God and pursuing God, that began the chase for me. It wasn't so much that I was chasing the call, but there was something that I was chasing within the call. And that was, how can God use me to help these particular individuals in my community? Because this is what I was told so much and so often, that church is about community. But also I would say that obedience is critical and is key. Everywhere in the Bible, everybody who had success in their calls always had obedience. So I don't think there are two different things. I think obedience is built in to actually answering the call or chasing your call.
Okay, great. And let me add to that, JR, also, and to our caller, that one thing I have found is that, especially listening to some of our responses that we've gotten on social media, people look for it. I believe Kim stressed this earlier in her call, in her comment, that people are looking for and desiring to have something that they fit into, something that they can do that is meaningful. At that point, I believe there is a desire, a passion, a going after and a seeking after that they want to try and fulfill. Once they identify that, which, of course, that puts them into the position of chasing the call, what am I made to do? Am I supposed to be here on this 9-to-5 all day or not? Maybe not. Maybe what I'm doing, as Kim was saying at the opening of the show, that person did not want to continue doing that thing that he was doing. However, he's chasing, he's looking, he's on the journey and the hunt for and seeking after his call. But obedience then comes once they identify it. And I believe a lot of what we miss as Christians who are already in the know, if you will, once you identify it, then the obedience to go forward and actually apply it and make it happen in your life is certainly necessary. So thank you so much for that question and that comment, caller. We appreciate it. And again, Kim, back over to you. We want to again let our guests in the chat room know, and those of us following on Twitter and on Facebook, that we welcome your comments in the show today. Kim, back over to you.
All right. Thank you very much, Shelley. And we'd also like to again thank that caller for participating in our program. So we're going to go on to the second half of the radio show today, and we're going to start with a calling. There's a couple things I want to touch on again. Earlier, the question was friends and family identifying the call way before you did. And one of the questions that came to mind for me this afternoon is that we are all adults here wondering, what is it, or how do I chase the call, or what is it? But my question, maybe to parents out there, JR, you may can speak to this. What are we doing to invest in the call of our children, Are we still training them up to go to college, to get the traditional jobs so that they can live whatever financial life that we would like to see them? But what are we doing to invest in the calling in our children's lives? JR, if you could speak to that, I would like to know your thoughts on that.
One of the things I think we can do as parents to invest in our children for them to find out what their calling is to provide them with a stable Christian household, making sure that they understand the basics of who God is and what God wants to do, and understand that God is moving in mommy and daddy's life. And the reason you have these things is because of what God is actually doing. So we have to make sure that they are connected with God as much as they possibly can, because a lot of people, including myself, really don't understand or discover what our calling is until later on in life. So the earlier that we can expose our children or our young people to God and how great God is and what Jesus did for us, I think that will have a great impact. At the same token, I'm not quite sure, and I probably would have to think about this a whole lot more, to what extent do we have a role to play in the calling of our life? I think that's one of the things that if my mother was on the line, that she would say. She talked to me a lot, and she communicated to me that I was going to be a preacher. And one of the things for me of constantly hearing that was I'm hearing my mother's voice, not hearing God's voice. So if I'm hearing my mother's voice more than I'm hearing God's voice, one of the things that it did for me was it pushed me back. It made me resist this actual calling that I'm living in right now, 20-something years later. So I think we have to allow our children and our young people to grow within God themselves and allow God to speak to them and maybe just drop little nuggets here and there and watch and observe what God is doing, but making sure that the decision for the call in their life is between them and God, and is God's decision of what he wants him or her to do, not what mommy and daddy wants to do.
Wow, okay. That's an excellent answer, and I really like that, because I do have nieces and nephews that are coming up, and I'm really focused on where they're going tomorrow. Jenny, this question is for you. You're fortunate enough to have your calling and your vocation be one in the same. How would you speak to those people that they may not have that type of experience? They may have two different things. One thing that they're 9-to-5 controlled, and then another calling that is totally opposite to that. How would you, or what advice would you give to that person that their calling is one thing and their vocation is something else? How would you talk to that person?
I guess the first thing that I would say is, where's the disconnect? If it's something, as your example you said earlier with Barbara Walters, where they just kind of fell into it to provide money or to provide for their family, I guess I would ask the question, is there an obvious disconnect, or can they still, if they understand what their calling is there some way that they can work their calling into what they're doing, into their daily lives, into their daily work? If that's not possible, then it's going to be a conversation and a lot of prayer with God to say, okay, what's stopping me from going through my calling? Is it because I'm not ready to trust? I'm not ready to let go. It's the lifestyle that I've been leading that I'm comfortable with, and I don't think that I can give it up. And why not? And so I think that when you're looking through that, when you're trying to work through responding or going through with your call and actually trusting God. God knows. God is not going to let you fall. And it's being able to let go and really kind of understand what's keeping you to your current job if it's so disconnected from your calling. And I think, you know, some of the things, just like if JR wasn't a minister, he would still be ministering to other people. That doesn't change who he is, or doesn't change his call if he wasn't in in his line of work. Same thing with you, Kimberly. Even though you're in your line of work that you're in, it doesn't stop you from still talking to other people about things that you're passionate about and things that are your true desires. So I would really encourage people to, one, try to see if there's not a way that you can bring that in to what you do. And if there's not, then really start praying and asking those questions as to, what is it that's keeping me from jumping? What is it that's keeping me from taking that leap of faith and chasing more of my call?
Ooh, Jenny, I love that. I absolutely love that.
Wow.
Okay, so what you said was, or JR, did you want to add something to that?
Oh, no, I just said wow.
Wow, that was deep, right? So what you have challenged me to do, Jenny, then, is not just look at my call from the traditional sense of the word. Wherever I'm at, the call is always at the forefront. So I should be practicing the call in whatever area that I'm in. So that was absolutely phenomenal way to put that. So I guess the next question we can move on to, again, JR had spoke how he is in seminary, and I have been in seminary now for about a year, and this may just only be my experience. It is definitely not everyone's experience, but one of the things that I see, again, going back to the vocation versus the call type deal, people that are coming into ministry that are a little older, maybe your second career, we are really concerned about, okay, God, I have become accustomed to a certain type of lifestyle. And looking at what we currently see, I do not see where I can continue in that lifestyle in ministry. And it has caused a bit of a hesitation for some, not knowing where they want to go or not knowing even if they want to go into ministry full-time because of the fear of not being able to live the lifestyle that they have come accustomed to. So, JR, since you are in seminary, and you said you quit your job to accept that call, so how would you speak to someone that may be in that area? I'm called to ministry. The only type of ministry I know now is what I see. God, I'm afraid. My lifestyle is about to go down. How would you, JR, speak to that person?
Only thing I can do, Kim, is tell them what God did for me and for my family once I accepted that call and made that step out on faith. When I quit my full-time job, God had already lined up a couple of other things to help us financially. And when I remember sitting down at the kitchen table with my wife, and she said, baby, if you can bring in X amount of dollars per month, then we're going to be all right. God knew that our level of faith may not have been all the way there. So he had to have provided a little bit of comfort for us to be able to step out on that call. I will tell anybody, God is not going to send you out there further than where your faith is. So God knew that we had bills. We wasn't highly in debt, but he knew we had bills. He knew we had responsibilities. He knew we had to take care of children. So for him to say, okay, you need to go ahead and leave this job because the things that I want you to do, you can't do them working this 9-to-5. And by doing that, God has blessed. And when I tell you that God has blessed, my wife can tell you, we have been more blessed financially than we were when I was actually working the full-time job. How do you explain something like that? This is what I would tell somebody. I can't explain it. Only thing I can say is praise God, because he's the one who chose to send me to this journey. And I will also say that when I left to go to seminary, it wasn't to become a minister. When I left to go to seminary, my purpose and the call that I saw that God was doing on my life was to go to seminary to obtain whatever was at seminary, which I didn't totally know it over the last 2 years, but to obtain whatever was at seminary and to bring it back to the same environment that I was working in, which was higher education, to make a difference there. So that's one way that I would communicate and say, this is what my story is, and this is how God actually worked in my life by me actually stepping out there, taking that leap of faith. And it's worked. It's worked.
Wow. That's absolutely amazing. You two have really blessed me today with your conversation and your questions and the things that you have shared with us today. So what we're going to do right now, again, is take another few minutes to see what's going on in the social media network in the room over there. And I know Shelley's busy dealing with the tweets and the Facebook and the call, managing the call. Again, I just would really like to thank my audience for supporting me in this effort, supporting me in this leap of faith. And I actually think it's a leap of faith for all of us today. You have taken the time out to listen to the show. JR and Jenny have taken time out to participate in the show. I think this is really a God thing today. So I would just like, again, to take some time out to thank everyone that is participating in this today. So, Shelley, tell us what's going on the social media network side.
Well, Kim, I'll tell you what, one thing about it, people have a lot to say about this topic, and they are just really praising you about having such a great topic. Obviously, it's something that the people really want to know about and or have answered, maybe not in their own lives, but to help other people. As you said, you have other family members, our children, nieces and nephews, that, of course, we want to influence them and try to direct them in the right way. And, of course, again, as we refer to it as answering their call in life to get in the place where they really need to be, where God has called them to be. So right now, again, we want to thank everyone in the chat room listening live, all of our guests who are listening in the chat room, everyone on the line. We do have one number, and I need to just check that one call here. We forgot her the first time here. Well, we forgot this number. Let's check in with this 910 code. I'm not sure if they have their line up in error or not, but let's see. If 6995, area code 910, 6995, area code 910, did you want to share comments, questions, or some encouragement on the topic today? Hello, are you there? Okay, maybe the line was up in error. So, again, Kim, everyone is just commending you on having such a great topic. And again, over on Facebook, we've got several people who chimed in and almost have said the same thing. What are we doing necessarily in praying concerning that? And that's how we actually attend to the chase, if you will, with the term that we're using today. Just making sure that you're having that conversation with God. And I'd like to also say that one interesting comment came up on the live chat that I was having, that it may not necessarily even be the what we know as the God answer, if you will, but what they think has been the answer that family have given. They went back to that, whereas they may not have even considered it being a conversation with God where they had to have that revelation, you know, made known to them or revealed. But it was like, well, this is just what my family has been doing all day, and I just didn't even think to pray about it. Oh, wow, okay, so then maybe I just need to start praying about it for some further clarity and further direction. And that is something that you all have already expressed and really, you know, just drove home tonight on the show previously and some of your other comments. So, again, we'd like to thank everyone out there on Twitter. And, again, we'll always be out here on Twitter and running the show with heavy social media response and discussions. We want you to join the dialogue at We Speak Radio or on Facebook at We Speak Radio Network on the fan page there. Again, Kim, back over to you. And, again, we thank you all so much for joining us as we go into the last half of the show. We're appreciating your social media following and your discussions. Kim?
Thank you very much, Shelley. We, again, like to thank everyone for all your participation in this call. And I think we're down to about 11 minutes left on the show, and we're going to put this one last question out and begin to do our outro and begin to wind down on the show. So we will start with Jenny this time again. My question or my final question is to Jenny first, and then we'll go on over to JR, is would you say there's a formula for identifying your calling? When we told some friends, Jenny, in the office that we were doing this show, one of the questions was, oh, you're going to tell me how to find my call? And of course not, because there's several different ways to do that. So how would you, Jenny, in your final comments, answer the question, is there a formula for identifying your call, or what do I do to identify my calling?
From early on, when I was trying to wrestle with, you know, what am I doing? I'm in a job that, what we brought up earlier, I'm in a job that's not necessarily what I would call my life's work, but, what am I doing? And when I was open to the fact that God is working through me on every day, and the choice, the things that happened to me 10 years ago that I wondered, God, what did, he brought me to Montgomery, Alabama from Michigan. I had no clue. I trusted, but I said, I don't know what we're doing here. I don't know what I need to do in Montgomery, Alabama. And it proved itself to me 2 years later. He brought me to Atlanta, Georgia a year ago. And again, it's these little leaps of faith that I'm open to. I trust in the Lord with all my heart. And it's that, if I could wrap up any formula, that is it, is just trust. When you hear something, when you think that it's, is it just an idea, or is this God talking to me, or is God working through me, it's be open and be willing to jump outside of your comfort zone and don't make excuses. And if it's not what if you're in a job and it's not what you think you should be doing, what can you bring into it? And that's one of the things that God has worked in my life, is to help me to understand that I don't need to be doing, you know, I don't need to be running a nonprofit organization for underprivileged kids, because he works through me every single day with helping people understand chase what my calling, which I think my calling is with helping people to understand their own self-worth and that they can make a difference regardless of situation or circumstance.
Thank you for that, Jenny. JR, what would be your final comments on that question? Is there a formula for identifying your calling?
I don't think so. I think if there is a formula, that God knows what the ingredients to the formula is. I believe that everybody's calling is different. So I don't think it would be of serving much justice for anybody to say, do these 1, 2, 3, 4 steps, and God will identify his calling to you. I think there's a couple key things that we could incorporate into our lives to help us to be able to identify our call. One of the things I think that can be done is to look biblically and spiritually, try to be biblically and spiritually centered by looking at stories in the Bible, look at how God revealed his calling to individuals. Since if God is leading us or leading you as an individual into a certain area, and see what the Bible has to say about it. That doesn't mean that it's going to line up exactly like that, but at least try to get some type of spiritual and biblical foundation for how God speaks and how God reveals himself to individuals in identifying their call. Another thing I would say is fast and pray. And I think that is really, really critical. I can be totally transparent and say that was nothing that I did. But again, I wasn't chasing my calling either. So when we talk about chasing the call, we're talking about doing something with purpose. If you fast and if you pray, God will reveal himself through those mechanisms, and we've seen that over and over inside of the Bible. Another thing that I would say is chase your call, not the call that somebody else has placed upon you, or not the call of somebody else. If you chase the call that God has placed upon you, or that you feel God is leading you, I believe individuals will have a lot more success inside of that calling. The last thing I would say is know who you are in Christ. Know who you are in Christ. God is not going to lead you astray. If he directs an individual to their calling, he's going to give them the tools that they need to be successful in their calling. Nobody in the Bible who God had led into a calling ever was unsuccessful in that particular calling, not from my understanding. So allow God to lead you, and I promise you everything will be totally, totally okay.
Wow, that's awesome. I really thank you both for all that you have added to this conversation today. I thank you for sharing with us and actually just being transparent. Again, you have confirmed in my life that it works to talk to other believers. It really is very beneficial for us to connect with believers because you learn things, you glean things from other believers. So this has been an amazing show in Chasing Your Calling. Before we begin to get out of here, we have a little less than 5 minutes left. If you enjoyed this show today, this has definitely just been a test, stepping out on faith, walking on water, however you would like to describe it. But if you have enjoyed what you've heard today, please let us know, again, by going to the Twitter page at We Speak Radio or making a comment on We Speak Radio Network on the Facebook page. Let us know that you've enjoyed and you would like to hear more of it, because we would definitely love to come back and do it again because I had a lot of fun doing it. I really thank JR and Jenny for their help and their experience in getting this done. Chasing Your Call for me, my final words, it has been a lifelong journey. Looking back, I would not have given any of it up because it made me who I am today and it has brought me where I am today. So all of that makes you who you are. And in chasing a calling, I would really like for everyone to understand that it does not have to be the typical ministerial role. As Jenny so eloquently put it, wherever you are, you should work that call. So it's a calling to be a parent. It is a calling to be a coworker. It is a calling to be a colleague. It is a calling to work, to just be the person that someone needs to talk to in the grocery store. The calling is in us, and it's a part of who we are and how God has made us. So we have to begin to look at that calling and begin to take it seriously and act on it. So, again, in closing, I just really hope and pray that through this radio show, through this talk show, through Facebook, through Twitter, that you and your friends and your community continue this conversation on chasing the call. Have dinner tonight and talk to your spouse about chasing the call, or have dinner tonight and have some conversation with your friends on what they think chasing the call is all about. And then log back on and let us know what you came up with, because it's all a learning curve. Shelley, one last time, we'd like to say thank you again for all of your help in managing the social media portion of this, because I am so not the multitasker. I could not talk and check Facebook and Twitter at the same time. So I would really like to thank you for doing that. Are there any final words that you may have in this last minute we may have on air?
Well, Kim, I'd like to say you've done an awesome job. I'm proud of you. Thank you so much for following just a portion, I believe, of what is going to be a great, great undertaking of affecting people's lives and making an impact in the community by starting the show. Thanks for joining me here up under the We Speak Radio Network. Thanks so much to your co-host. But I would like to say this just as an addition. There are some books, and you well know some things I shared with you, that it may not necessarily be a formula, but I just want to share what you and I did. For those who have listened to all the information shared on the show, our personal life experiences, Kim and I diligently sat down and went through a book. There are plenty of books out there. I will not support one or other one over the other, but there are books out there that give you the identifying your spiritual gifts. Identifying your spiritual gifts. Find a book, Google it, research it, find one on eBay or half.com. Go through that book, and normally in those books that says identifying your spiritual gifts, they will give you a parallel to what your career or job may be. After that, pray about it. Go forward in prayer and get some help with someone you also trust in prayer to help you again fulfill that, and then see what God says about what you found out in the book by doing some gift testing on yourself. That's it, Kim. Thanks again. Great show.
Thank you very much. Again, we'd like to say to everyone, have a great night. Enjoy the weekend, and we challenge you to chase your call. Thank you, and have a good evening.